لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسنت الأوصاف عن كل معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء ولا أرض أربع. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء عبد القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه، كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه. وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام: لن تتصل بالخالق حتى تنقطع عن الخلق. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم عليه الصلاة والسلام has said in his hadith that you can never get connected with the Creator. لن تتصل بالخالق حتى تنقطع عن الخلق, unless you break away from the creation. In Islam and in the light of the teachings of the Holy Quran, we believe that everything is halik, everything deserves halakat, except what is the wajh and face of Allah. Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajhahu. Everything which our Urafa have explained in their books that it means the istihqaqiyyat al-wujud. There is nothing deserves to exist except if the thing is a wajh and face of Allah. It has to be understood that Islam wants to take us to highest levels which are possible for us to reach, and all those levels are attained through the closeness of Allah. Islam wants us to become an insan al-kamil, the perfect humans, perfect human with all the sifat, with the sifat and asma, the attributes and the names of Allah reflected in our personality. So when we have the names and attributes of God being reflected in our personality, that's how you become perfect. And when you become perfect and Nurani, you have basically achieved the purpose of your creation. These goals of perfection and spiritual perfection are impossible to achieve as long as we are attached to the creation. So we need to break away from the creation and get as close as possible to the Creator, because all the beautiful attributes belong to Him and all the beautiful names belong to Him. لِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. For Him, for Allah belongs the beautiful names. So call Him with those. So all the beautiful names and all the beautiful sifat and attributes are His. And in the concept of Tawheed, we already learned that التوحيد أن لا تتوهمه والعدل أن لا تتهمه. Tawheed means that don't imagine God. أن لا تتوهمه. Don't try to comprehend. Don't try to imagine. Don't try to bring the imagination and a vision of God inside your mind with your wahm and khiyal and imaginations and ideas. Whatever you may think with your ideas, any description that you can design and you can paint, any picture in your mind about God is not God. Actually, the hadith says, كُلُّ مَا مَيَّزْتُمُوهُ فِي أَوْحَامِكُمْ فِي أَدَقِّ مَعَانِيهِ. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, all what you may distinguish, you know, with your imaginations, with your thoughts, with the most precise of its meanings. مَخْلُوقٌ مَصْنُوعٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. It's a creation like you. مَرْدُودٌ إِلَيْكُمْ. It is rejected, it will be returned back towards you. لَا تُقَدِّرْ عَظَمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ عَقْلِكَ. Don't gauge and measure the azamat and greatness of Allah according to your intellect. This is something that anything that you may try to think of, and any kind of picture you want to paint, and any kind of vision you think about Allah in your mind, any imagination about that describes Allah is wrong, is basically your own imaginative creation of mind, and it's nothing to do with Allah, in the sense that Allah is not similar to this. That's not God, that's your own imagination. So we need to understand that when Allah is beyond the imaginations and cannot be, is incomprehensible with the thoughts and imaginations of our mind, we realize that the sifat and attributes of Allah are beyond the comprehension of a human beings in totality, and the names of Allah are beyond the comprehension of a human being in its totality. So we come to this decision. And likewise, the other segment of the hadith, وَالْعَدْلُ أَنْ لَا تَتَّهِمَهُ. And justice is that you don't blame Allah. أَنْ لَا تَتَّهِمَهُ. So, if we submit to the divine decisions, everything that God is the one who is deciding, all His will and wish, His wills and wishes are supreme in every matter. What He wishes happens, what He did not wish did not happen. Anything that happened is because of His wish. Anything that did not happen is because He did not wish. You know, nothing is in the hands of anybody. Having this concept clarified in our minds will make us understand easily that basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above and beyond the sifat of makhlukin, above and beyond the attributes of the creatures. So we have to realize that in order to understand, in order to realize our responsibility towards the Tawheed concept, we must understand that none of the attributes of creatures can ever be ascribed towards the Creator. And it's not just, our scholars say, we discuss it theoretically that we cannot comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a creature, mind of a human, brain of a human being is a creature, and the creature can never comprehend the creator. Whatever we think in our mind cannot be the creator. That's our own imagination. So beyond the perspective of ideology and thinking, in the practical arena, we find that this kind of vision, this kind of Islamic and divine worldview about Tawheed and oneness concept of God will force us to basically not to give any importance, to turn away, to break away from the creatures, not to give any importance to the creatures, not to have tawajjuh and attention towards the creatures. Instead, we have entire tawajjuh and attention towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this behavior of the people, whosoever has this behavior in his practice, shows that he has the correct divine vision already in place in his mind, that he is considering all the sifat of creatures, all the attributes of creatures to be away from the Creator. Why do we turn to the people and give attention to the people and give attention to the creatures? Because we still fail to understand the actual concept of Tawheed, that the people have nothing in their control, none of the sifat belong to them, none of the attributes belong to them, nothing exists other than the wajh of Allah, nothing has the right to exist other than the wajh and face of Allah. Everything that exists has to be a face of God, and because of His will, things are taking place. And God cannot be, you cannot produce any similarity of with any creature, of any creature with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so none of the attributes of creatures can be, considered similar to the attributes of Allah. And this azamat, like I said, the real vision, when we get the real vision, it shows in our a'mal and actions that we don't pay attention to the creatures, we don't get attached to the creatures, we consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His azamat in our minds. Look at what Imam Ali salam, and he talks about the Muttaqeen, the famous sermon of Imam Ali, Khutbah of Hatam, how it is commonly known in Nahjul Balagha. When he never talked about that sermon, inshallah, if Allah permits sometime, we can talk about that in detail. But in that khutbah, when Hammam came in and requested from Imam Ali salam to describe the pious people, the Muttaqeen, Imam was avoiding it, but then he started to explain. It's a long sermon, and one of those sentences which is related to our discussion is what Imam Ali said, أَظُمَ الْخَالِقُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ وَصَّبُرَ مَا دُونَهُ فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ. That means that the muttaqeen are those people, in other words, pious people are those whom they are such that Khaliq, the Creator, is Azeem and great in their eyes. They consider the Creator to be great. And because of that, what happens? فَصَّهُرَ مَا دُونَهُ. Everything other than the Creator becomes small. فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ, in their eyes. That's what we were talking about. The real concept of Tawheed, if that concept of oneness of Allah with Islam loves to see from all the believers, if that concept is settled, the practical policy of a person will be such, you won't give no importance to nobody other than Allah. You don't consider anyone to be anything other than Allah. He gives attention and tawajjuh towards Allah, because actually the wajh and face of Allah is the one that deserves to exist and is existing, and nothing other than the face of Allah exists. And this requires, in order to achieve this type of practical behavior, we require taharat, cleanliness of the soul, and break away from the creatures, break away from every type of shirk, break away from every type of associating partners with Allah. And this taharat, which when it is achieved, قلوب العباد الطاهرة مواضع نظر الله سبحانه وتعالى ومطهر قلبه نظر إليه. The clean souls of the servants are the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks. Allah looks, Allah has His nazar. Allah watches the hearts of those servants who have clean hearts. Whosoever, so whoever cleans his heart, Allah looks at him. How do we clean our heart? We are moving forward, requiring that policy in our life requires a clean heart. Clearing our hearts, cleaning our qalb, tathir of the qalb, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us. How do you clean your heart? Clean your heart from everything which is... Look at the behavior of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, described by the Holy Quran, when he was talking to some of the people of his nation. We learn in the history, you know, Prophet Ibrahim said, Ra'a kawkaban, Quran says, he saw a star. Qala hada rabbi. Prophet Ibrahim said, that's my Lord. This is my Lord, he said. And when the star, disappeared, when the star no longer remained, he said, La uhibbul afili, I don't love those who set. When the star set, and you know, just like the sun sets and the moon sets and the star sets and it's no longer visible on the sky, Prophet Ibrahim said, La uhibbul afirin, I don't love those who set. So those who have ghurub, those who no longer stay, I don't love them. And after a while, he said, when he saw the moon, he said, Hada Rabbi, this is my Lord. And when the moon also set, he said that basically these are the statements which he's trying to explain to his jahil and ignorant nation who was doing shirk and associating partners with Allah. Look at how Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is using this strategy to make them realize and open up to the Creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and stop associating partners with Him and stop doing shirk. Likewise, when he saw the sun, he said the similar statement, that Hada Rabbi, this is my Lord. And when the sun set, this is how he is explaining to his nation that I disassociate myself from the shirk that you people do. And in another statement, Prophet Ibrahim said, Uffin lakum walima ta'buduna min dunillah. That means, woe to you, uff to you, and basically he's expressing his frustration. That he disagrees and he's frustrated over what you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we associate with Allah is not just the idols of our scholars say, which those people used to do in those days, worshipping idols which they made with their own hands. It was their own creation and they started worshipping those idols. This is beyond this, the concept is goes beyond just that, just worshipping idols, because the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said that Kulluma شَغَلَكَ عَنِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ صَلَمُكَ. Everything that engages you away from Allah is your idol. Isn't that what we are talking about? We have to break away from the creation so that you get connected to the Creator. So everything that engages you away from Allah is your idol. It's not just those idols, those people who are the idol worshippers and pagans who used to live back then in the life of Prophet Ibrahim. There are lots of pagans today. But the idols that they are worshipping are not the idols made of stone or dates or food or different kinds of things, you know, even some sweets. Those were the idols of those days. Today we have those idols which are actually in the form of our desires. And anything and everything which engages us away from Allah's remembrance is our idol. So Islam is a religion which promotes the harat of the qalb to break away from the creation. My teacher was saying, if Prophet Ibrahim was alive today, wouldn't he say to us, all what we engage with and all those things that make us forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all those kinds of, you know, engagements that we have which are making us ghafil away from the zikr and remembrance and yad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wouldn't he say to us the same statement that he said to those pagans and idol worshippers, Uffin lakum wa lima ta'buduna min dunillah? This is also same. This is also same behavior. So don't restrict the statement of Prophet Ibrahim to those nations with those idols made by their hands only. Any kind of thing that engages us away from Allah's remembrance is our idol and is also part of the concept of shirk, is also engaging us with the creatures, is also making us forget God and making us, paying attention towards the creatures instead of paying attention towards Allah. That's why Islam promotes the triple level responsibility towards the purification of the soul, the takhliyah and the tajliyah and the tahliyah, as how our scholars of Akhlaq say. Takhliyah, the stage number one of tazkiyatul nafs and purification of the soul, is that you remove the sifatul razila, the bad spiritual attributes from your soul, address those bad spiritual attributes, take them off one by one, or all of a sudden for some people, they divorce all those bad attributes and eject those bad attributes all at once. Some are so much blessed. I remember Imam Khomeini with one lare was once talking about some of those Basij soldiers, and he said some of those Uwatu Taqa, Basiji soldiers, he was saying that the public voluntary force, Farsi they call it Basij, the public voluntary force. So he was talking about some of those Mu'mineen who were ready to sacrifice to defend their Islam. And he was talking about some of those soldiers, and he said some of the Basijis actually traveled the Safar, the travel which our Urufa do in years and years of their Umarasat and Riyawat, Riyawatul Nafs. Those people traveled that whole travel in one night. It happens. For some people, these stages of takhliya happens immediately. It depends on the lutf of Allah, depends on how much istidad and capability you have in your qalb, how much attachments you have acquired from this material world, and how much you are ready to detach yourself immediately or gradually. So takhliya is the stage number one of taharat of the qalb, so that we empower ourselves to break away from the creatures and giving importance and paying attention to the creatures and what they like to see from us, and turning towards the Creator, who is the one who deserves to exist. So we find, and after the takhliya, stage of takhliya, comes the stage of tajliya. Tajliya means tajliya is through the shara, through the ahkam of the sharia. That means you start obeying what God has said, the revelation of God, the sharia. You practice the sharia, you obey what God has said, you do the imtithal al-awamir, obedience towards the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at what Imam Ali al-Islam has said, al-shari'atu riyadatun nafs. Sharia is the exercise of the soul. You are exercising, you are doing this kind of training of your soul, and basically that's how we train our soul with this type of exercise to basically becomes compatible with the commands and do's and do-nots of the Creator. And then finally we have the stage of Tahliya arriving, which means that you not just obey the do's and do-nots of the Sharia, but actually replace those bad attributes that you have removed from your qalb, you replace them with the sifatun jamila and sifatun hasana, the beautiful attributes which are the attributes of Allah. So you become mutakhalliq bi akhlaqillah, like the Prophet has said, takhallaqu bi akhlaqillah. So you acquire the sifat and attributes of Allah, adopt those sifat, apply on your self-souls, and the implications of those attributes, every attribute has implications, a practical aspect to it. When we believe Allah is Kareem, so what am I supposed to do? There is something I'm supposed to do related to the name of Kareem. When we say Allah is Raheem, all merciful, what am I supposed to do? Just that I believe Allah is Raheem, that's it? Not at all. This is the beginning of it. There is a practical implication to my everyday life. Did I understand that? And did I apply that practical implication? And did I start practicing it? This is what we are talking about. Not just believing in all those attributes or memorizing the names of Allah and be, you know, with our heart. This is what an audio cassette or a CD can also do, or a parrot can also do. This is not at all what we are talking about. The practical implications related to the contents and the meanings of the names applied to our souls, so that practically we start doing what the name commands us to do. Just like Allah is doing what He's doing because He has those names. Why He's doing all this, whatever is taking place in the universe, is because of His names. Everything happening in the universe has a name of Allah or several names of Allah behind it. Because He has those names, that's the reason this is taking place. If we understand that and we start practicing the contents of those names in our practical life, then we have basically we have started to begin on the right track to become mazhar and reflection of those sifat of Allah. We then start to be on that track. So tahliya, which is the stage number 3, is basically adopting the attributes of Allah, allowing the attributes to penetrate in your qalb. How do you allow the attributes to penetrate? By practicing, practically doing and practically following the implications of the contents of the names. And there were scholars of akhlaq and Islamic morality say that basically you need to focus on the first stage, which is tahliya, getting rid of the evil attributes. And all those evil attributes are because of the lack of understanding of the concept of tawheed, and lack of basically understanding the fact that we should not get attached to the creatures of the material world. That's the reason why we end up having those evil attributes in the qalb. If we can manage to achieve the level of tahliya, the rest of the two levels, tazkiyah and tahliya, will automatically follow. Why the next of two levels don't follow is because the first stage is never crossed. So that's what our scholars say, that whosoever becomes muttasif bi sifatillah, mutakhalliq bi akhlaqillah, whosoever adopts the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his qalb, he will end up believing and practicing that all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are supreme, and all the actions of the creatures and all the attributes of the creatures you know, which are mumkinat and possible means, are actually nothing, and they had to be fani and in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the whole concept of taharat of the qalb, belonging to three stages, and that's what we refer to in very commonly talked about word of jihad, which is the jihad, the jihad al-akbar. The bigger jihad is to battle your desires. That's what Islam calls the bigger jihad, to battle against your own desires and self, and have a self-control. Look at this hadith, you know, that we find, but before I get to that hadith, in another hadith we find that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that la hijama أظلم وأوحش بين العبد وبين الرب من النفس والهوى. We have so many hijabs, is that right? That's not there in the hadith, I'm explaining it in my words. We have so many curtains between us and our Lord, which are blocking our ru'yat and mushahada and vision of Allah, that we would have seen Allah through the eyes of our soul, eyes of our iman and faith, of course not the physical eyes. So all those curtains of sins which are blocking, and among those curtains of sins which are blocking our vision to see Allah, look at this hadith, what Prophet said, La hijaba azlam. There is no hijab darker than, between the servant and Allah and his Lord, than his desires. Nafs wal hawa. So the darkest of all the hijab, wa awhash, and the, you know, scariest of all the hijab, in other words, that the most scariest of the hijab is actually our desires. And ahmaqul humaqa, the most silly of all the silly people, man ittaba'a nafsahu hawahu. And lots of people in this world consider themselves to be intellectuals, isn't that right? And you talk with them and they think they are very smart. Well, Islam has its own definition of aql and being smart, and aqil, and its own definition of who is ahmaq and silly. So the Holy Prophet has said the most silly of all the silly people is the one who followed his desires. So forget about what I wish to do, or I think, or my opinion is like this, or my take is this, or I think this is appropriate. Who are we? Anybody who thinks on those lines falls in the category of this hadith of Rasulullah, ahmaqul humaqa. The most silly of all the silly people is the one who follows his desires. Everything that you decide about yourself or your life has to be your desire, categorized as quote unquote your desire. You, it may sound very logical to you, really doesn't matter if it sounds logical or sounds illogical. That's not the best, besides the point. The point is that, is there a decision already existing from God's behalf about this issue of life, or there is no decision already existing from Allah's behalf about this issue of the life? There is a decision already existing. Allah did not leave no space vacant. So when there is a decision already existing from Allah, and in the presence of the pre-existing decision of God, we are deciding another decision that we consider to be very logical for us. Fine, you consider it logical, but that's the most silly of all the silly people who would end up doing that. So, Mujashir was the name of a person. He came to the Holy Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, O the Messenger of God, كَيْفَ الطَّرِيقِ إِلَى مَعْرِفَةِ الْحَقِّ. What is the path that can lead us towards the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of haq and truth and falsehood, and haq and truth and righteousness? Haq is also one of the names of Allah. Among the, you know, 99 beautiful names of God, haq is also one of those. So you can interpret this word haq also, you know, it means Allah, nothing wrong. Or you can say haq means righteousness. So what's the path, what's the way towards recognizing haq? And Prophet said, ma'rifatun nafs, recognize the nafs, recognize your soul, recognize the soul. Okay, now the guy said, فَكَيْفَ الطَّرِيقِ لَا مُوَافَقَةِ الْحَقِّ. What's the path, what's the way towards basically, you know, being in sync with haq? Muwafaqat means in sync. Then whatever the righteousness dictates, you do the same. This is called Muwafaqat. You do exactly what the Haqq dictates you to do. How can I make myself in sync with Haqq and righteousness? So I do exactly what the Haqq asked me to do. Prophet said, "Muhalafatun nafs, oppose your desires. If you want to become in sync with Haqq, you know, become opposing towards your desires. You will end up becoming in sync with the Haqq, in other words." So look at the fact that our desires and Haqq are exactly on the opposite poles apart, 180 degrees opposite. So we need to realize anything that I may consider to be okay for me to do on my own without turning to the Sharia has to be categorized as my desires. And this is shirk in the broader sense of the word. It's not shirkun aqa'idi, if not a theoretical shirk, at least shirkun amali, a practical level of associating partner with Allah because of not obeying what God's command is. So the guy said, كَيْفَ الطَّرِيقِ لَا مُوَفَقَةِ الْحَقِّ? What's the way towards making ourselves in sync with Haqq? Prophet said, مُخَالَفَةُ النَّفْسِ, opposing your desire, opposing the desires, opposing what you wish to do. Then the guy said, كَيْفَ الطَّرِيقِ لَا رِضَ الْحَقِّ? What's the way towards making Haqq راضي and pleased from me? How can you make Haqq راضي and pleased from you? Prophet said, سَخَطُ النَّفْسِ, make your desires displeased from yourself. Displease your own desires. And you will make Haqq pleased with you. And then the guy continued saying, فَكَيْفَ الطَّرِيقِ إِلَىٰ طَاعَةِ الْحَقِّ? What's the way towards obeying Haqq? How can we obey Haqq? Prophet replied, إِسْيَانُ النَّفْسِ, disobeying your desires. And you want to obey Haqq? Okay. Start disobeying what you like to do. Start disobeying your own desires and you will end up doing obedience of Haqq. In other words, and then the guy said, فَكَيْفَ الطَّرِيقِ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ الْحَقِّ? What's the way towards remembering Haqq? I'm a zakir, I'm in the yaad and remembrance of Haqq always. How can I be in the remembrance of Haqq? Prophet said, نسيان النفس, by forgetting your desires. That means we train ourselves that we forget what we wish to do. Make yourself such that you forget what you are liking to do, what you are wishing to do, what you are feeling like doing. Forget about that. The more you forget, the more you remember Allah. And that's exactly what we are talking about, you know, to break away from the attachments of this world. And then the guy continued asking the Holy Prophet and said, فَكَيْفَ الطَّرِيقِ إِلَىٰ قُرْبِ الْحَقِّ? What's the way of getting close to Haqq? And Prophet replied, التَّبَعُدُ عَنِ النَّفْسِ, distancing yourself from your desires. You want to get close to Haqq? Distance yourself from what you wish to do. And then the guy said, فَكَيْفَ الطَّرِيقِ إِلَىٰ أُنْسِ الْحَقِّ? Becoming ma'nus, familiar. Familiarity, acquaintance with Haqq. What's the way that would lead me towards becoming familiar and acquainted with Haqq? Prophet said, Al-Wahshatu min al-Nafs, be scared from your desires. That means if you are scared from your own desires, that's why you would run away from your desires. You won't even pay attention to your desires. You would run away from it. Escape from your desires. Escape from what I like to do. And then you would end up becoming familiar and ma'nus with Haqq. So then the guy said to the Prophet, فَكَيْفَ الطَّرِيقُ إِلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ? What's the way towards all that? And Prophet said, الْإِسْتِعَانَةُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَىٰ النَّفْسِ. You take help through Haqq against your desires. So in the light of this beautiful hadith, although all the hadith are beautiful equally, we understand that the prescription for a mu'min who believes in the oneness concept of God, if he is serious about considering the concept and its elaborate meanings, he would always oppose his desires, never decide on his own, and doesn't even care what he likes to do. He will end up becoming obedient towards and submit himself towards the Sharia and divine commands. And we find that Islam is a religion that is trying to make us as high as we can. You see, in the dua in the every Thursday night when we read the dua Kumail, we say to Allah we actually are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every Thursday night. We are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Lord, waj'alni min ahsani 'abidika nasiban 'indak wa aqrabahum zulf manzilatan minka wa akhassahum zulfatan ladayk. That what we are asking on every Thursday, oh my Lord, so make me from among those who have the best of the shares from your behalf. The best of the shares are received by me. And make me among those of your servants who are the closest, having the highest place next to you and closest towards you. Most specific place close to you. My teacher was saying, don't ask from Allah any material thing. Of course it's not haram to ask. You can always ask material blessing as well. It's not haram in the Sharia. We all know that. But the words of wisdom of Urafa need to be taken in the higher perspective, not in the lower perspective. They're saying, don't ask from Allah about give me more of material things. You know, this is not worth asking. You can always ask that, but this is not worth asking. This is something which Allah is already giving. And this is something which is shared by so many of other people who don't even believe in Allah and subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even the animals are being awarded those material blessings. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the metaphysical blessings of Allah. You know, this is how you would reach the level of karamat, karamatul nafs. I already mentioned to you the story of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam once when he was doing the tawaf of Kaaba, and at that occasion when Abdul Malik ibn Marwan rahmatullahi alayhima wa ala ali Marwan ajma'in, who was the ruler of that time, he came for the tawaf of Kaaba, and Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was also there. And one of the people came to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and said, this is a very good golden opportunity, why don't you go to Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, the ruler is also here, why don't you just go to him and ask about your fadak, the garden that the Tawud people, those enemies, have usurped from you, Ahlul Bayt. This is a very good opportunity, he's already here. Imam alayhi salam said, وَيْحَكَ أَفِي حَرَمِ اللَّهِ أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ. In the haram of Allah, shall I ask Allah anything other than Allah? So they never asked from Allah anything other than Allah Himself. That's what my teacher was saying. So don't ask the material belonging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the best opportunity, take the best benefit from your life. It should not be our goal in our life. Islam wants to take us really high. This should not be our goal that I can just escape from the fire on the Day of Judgment. Is that the way we were supposed to behave towards Allah, and to make this as our goal, that this is the only goal of all what I'm believing and all what I'm doing, just to avoid the hellfire? This is the ibadat of abid. That's the fatilka ibadatul abid. That's the ibadat and worship of the slaves. We are supposed to be higher. Come ahlul karama. Have karamatul nafs. Make ourselves higher. So think high. Think higher. Expect higher. Do for higher. Work for higher goals. You know, if inna Allah yuhibbu ma'aliyal umur wa yakrahu sifsaqaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the higher affairs and hates the lower affairs, lower things. So when you become high, and when you then you would focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you focus on Allah, then look at the Holy Prophet, how he used to behave in one of those battles, you know, when there was some storm coming in between the Holy Prophet and the army of Islam, when the non-believers attacked the Muslims and the Prophet was defending. In one of those battles, either the storm came, or according to some narrations of the history and according to some other, there was another incident taking place which separated the Holy Prophet, the commander-in-chief, from the army, of Muslim army. The Prophet got separated from his army, and he had to end up on this side. There was some other place Prophet was, you know, he lied down to relax. The Prophet was relaxing, one of the kuffar came at that time and grabbed the sword and said, "Man yunjika," you know, "al'an," who is going to save you now? That means, who is going to, "Man yunjika minni," who is going to save you from me? And Prophet replied, "Rabbi wa rabbuka," "my Lord and your Lord." That means between the sharp edge of the sword and between my neck, there is an azamat and greatness and qudrat and strength of Allah still there. How can you end up believing in that kind of belief and that kind of practice unless you have the karamatul nafs? That's where Islam wants to take us. And when you have this kind of tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this kind of karamatul nafs, then you will find always the help coming from Allah. And of course, we know the story that the guy started to shiver and the sword dropped from his hand, and Prophet grabbed the sword and said, "Who is going to save you from me?" "Man yunjika minni," and the guy said, "Your karamatul nafs, your great honor and highness can only save me. He is a mushrik, he doesn't believe in God." And Prophet let him go. From such a Prophet, our scholars say, you can expect such a son coming from the lineage of such a Prophet. Such a son like Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When people in Medina, at the time when Imam Hussein was departing, some people came and suggested to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, "Iraq, people of Iraq never did wafa, never were faithful towards your brother, they were never faithful towards your father. So why are you planning to go towards Iraq? This is a place full of turmoil." And Imam Hussain alayhi salam replied that, "Law lam yakun fi dunya malja'un wala ma'wa lama bayatu Yazid ibn Muawiyah." If there's no place of refuge in the world, I'll still not do the bayat of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. From such a holy Prophet, you will expect such a great son to arrive, who is so steadfast on his principles. It doesn't matter whether you find a place of refuge or not, you're not here to save your life. You are here to save your principles and values. So, we find that, Imam Hussain alayhi salam was such that our imams, all of our imams were such, they used to embrace the musibat. They were ready to embrace the masahib from Allah's behalf. Then finally Imam Hussain was leaving from the qiyam, and Hazrat Zainab sallallahu alayhi said to him that, "Did you make up your mind for death?" And Imam Hussain Islam replied that, "How can I be not prepared for death when I have no nasir, no hami, no supporter again? Everybody has already passed away." Imam Hussain Islam is ready to give the sacrifice. And sometimes he also came riding over the camel back. In the Arab culture, you never fight anybody yourself. If you are riding on the camel, you're not. That means you're not serious to fight. Camels were never used to fight. Those who were riding the camels themselves never used to fight. Camel is never suitable for fighting. Sometimes in the history we find Imam Hussain also on the day of Ashura came riding over the camel. This is a very clear message to the army that I didn't come to fight. Imam Hussain is defending. He's defending the dignity and karamat of Allah. He doesn't like to start the battle. He doesn't want to start the battle. And finally, when he, in the final moments, but he has the karamat of nafs, so he's ready to embrace all the masa'ib. And we find that Sayyid ibn Ta'us rahmatullah alayh has narrated that Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he was alone and surrounded by the enemies, in the final moments, everybody surrounded Imam Hussain. Those who have swords, they started to attack Imam Hussain with their swords because he was alone. Those who had arrows were throwing arrows over Imam Hussain. Those who had nothing in their hand except stones, they were throwing stones at him. And Imam Hussain's body was full of arrows, and full bleeding from, you know, all over. But he still never bent on his principles. And we find that Imam Hussain alayhi salam, somebody threw a stone, Sayyid ibn Ta'us narrates, threw a stone over the forehead of Imam Hussain. فَأَخْرَ الصَّوْمْ لِيَمْسَحَ الدَّمْ عَنْ جَبْهَتِهِ. Imam alayhi salam, he grabbed the cloth to wipe off the blood from his forehead. And that was the time. فَأَصَابَهُ سَهْمٌ مَسْمُومٌ ذُو ثَلَاثَ شُعَبٌ. And that was the time when somebody threw an arrow with three-pointed arrow, you know, and a poisoned three-pointed arrow, you know, towards the qalb of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And, you know, Imam Hussain addressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma. Imam Hussain said that these people are killing that person, that there is no one, لَيْسَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ إِبْنُ نَبِيٍّ. There is no one on the face of earth who is the son of the Holy Prophet other than me. That means Imam Hussain is actually making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, talking to Allah that he's the only son of the Holy Prophet surviving on earth. And he is the one who is being killed. And finally, when one of the Ashfiyah came forward and attacked Imam Hussain with the spear and razor, and Imam Hussain, that was the time that he could not survive standing on his feet over the Zuljanah, over the horse. And the Zuljanah also understood that Imam Hussain is so weak now. So this is the horse of Rasulullah. This is not an ordinary horse. This is Murtajaz. The horse of Rasulullah, and the horse kneeled down to facilitate Imam Hussain to come over the ground. And we find Imam Hussain came on the ground, but actually his body was not over the ground. The body was lifted over the arrows. He still did not come over the ground. He's lifted over all those arrows on his body. And finally, you know, when he finds that it is the time of Asr prayers, he puts his head into the sajda to pray his Asr prayers. Bismillah wa billah wa fi sabilillah wa ala millati rasulillah.
السر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من تسلم الدين
وقت المدخل للمسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم وفق على الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب السلام واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for Marhum Zulfiqar.